Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, nice enough to join us on this Friday morning. Jared, I felt like last week a nice, calm discussion between you and I on Jared versus Joe. And then Joe returns this week, and there's just a lot of hostility flowing through the air. Welcome to the program this morning.
Oh, it's so good. I'm so glad to be on, Robbie. I felt like Jared versus Joe, you know, I know Joe took like 6 weeks off, but it felt like we never missed a beat with the Jared versus Joe program this weekend.
That's right. It was just right back at it. It was good stuff.
You're trying to claim that I take more time off than you?
I mean, one of us did just come back after missing 18 straight days.
I have to. No, in fact,
it was like you went on maternity leave.
I didn't even miss two full weeks. Remember, I worked that Monday, Robbie.
You did. That's true. Yeah. I forgot about that.
So I'm sorry that I have a kid who plays high school football who gets 2 weeks off in the summer. Got to take those weeks.
I know. You've turned into Floyd. You take that month that's off. Right. Yeah. Go down to Turks and Caicos.
But you actually go to Turks and Caicos. Am I right?
For 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Jared, we got a lot to get to with you today on the program. What did you make of the odds shift on DeAndre Hopkins? And do you think that actually means something tangibly, or is that just Vegas reacting to, you know, Joe's thrown out there the Mike Lombardi podcast? Obviously, money comes in after that, and I believe that podcast is affiliated with DraftKings. What did you make of the massive odds shift? +500 to -300 the other day with DeAndre Hopkins.
I would like to say that came out after the first segment of the Stillman & Company program, which I called it that I thought that DeAndre Hopkins was going to be a Titan. So
there it is.
I'm just throwing that out there. I just am not a conspiracy theorist or anything. Just saying, open your eyes, people. But what I would say about that is, I do think that. Like, word on the street is that he's going to be a Titan. And I feel like for people outside of here, it has taken a lot of time to try to understand why that would make sense at all. Now, I have a hard time making sense of anywhere but the Titans right now. But I think word on the street is starting to kind of get out there that he's going to be a Titan. I go back to Jeremy Fowler, Robbie, and which I felt like there's a difference between, you know, hey, like, I'm telling you, I think he's going to be a Titan. And I'm telling you, I think he's going to be a Titan. And I felt like last week, Jeremy Fowler was doing some of that hinting. You know, he really talked about the Titans being in the mix there. Now New England's in it too, but the Titans are really in the mix. And he did that a couple of times. So I think Fowler knows something and isn't just going to say, you know, I think he's going to the Titans. Because those insiders will never say something like that unless they know that he's going to the Titans. And I think Vegas is kind of telling us the same thing. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a Titan.
Yeah, well, I heard the Fowler thing. I know this is very rare with you. You may have taken a little bit of a leap there in the difference in his reporting. But either way, I don't think it's correct to think that Fowler knows and then he's hinting. You know, I don't think Fowler has definitive information on anything because I don't think there is definitive information.
Right. So that's why I don't think Fowler's giving you definitive information because if Jeremy Fowler were to come on and say, hey, you know, I'm really hearing that I think he's going to the Titans. If he were to say that, then the second that he doesn't go to the Titans, you know, Fowler looks like an idiot and that's something he's not going to want to do. So if he's hearing from his people, like, hey, you know, New England's still in there, but he's going to the Titans, you know, that goes back to the he's telling you without telling you kind of thing because none of these insiders are ever going to say, hey, I really think it's going to be this guy or I really think this coach is going to take this job when they probably do hear things like that behind the scenes where obviously Fowler's talking to DeAndre's camp. And I think that DeAndre's camp has made it obvious to Fowler, in spite of the ESPN embargo on admitting there being a possibility that DeAndre Hopkins could be a Titan, that, yeah, this is very realistic. And he's kind of trying to, you know, say what he knows without saying it.
But I'm saying that I don't think he knows it. And also I'm saying I know that this needs to end soon on Hopkins. My God.
You said August 8th is when it's going to happen.
That's way too long. I know. It's sad, but I think we're into August on this.
So I did a workshop one time, and they said in the workshop, the radio workshop, and they said, you know, that the host will get tired of talking about something before the audience will get tired of hearing about something, which is a theory that I subscribe to, you know, of kind of just hammering the crap out of some of these topics. And I have to be honest with you, like, I'm kind of getting sick of it. Like, and that's saying something.
It is.
Because, I mean, I feel like, I feel like we've done like 8 weeks worth of DeAndre Hopkins talk. And honestly, like, you know, again, it's hard for me to get tired of talking about the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I'm starting to get there. Well, I heard Willie yesterday. I'm not going to lie to you. I was on my way into the studio yesterday, and I heard Willie talking about how he went to the Nashville SC game.
Yeah.
And I honestly kid you not, like, I was about to turn off the radio because it's like, hey, I want to hear a Nashville SC talk. And then Willie was talking about how, like, this was this crazy game, and all this stuff happened, and a guy threw a water bottle, and it hit a guy in the head on the other team, and the goalie turned around, and he's telling everyone don't do it. He's like, and nobody's talking about it, and I don't get why. And I was like, oh, I love this topic. I was like, you know, this is just something to not talk about DeAndre Hopkins.
Boy, did you make people mad on that one yesterday.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up.
About Nashville SC?
You did.
Yeah, Nashville SC, man. When Willie is telling you that not enough people care about you and you need to work on it, that's telling you something.
Is that what he said?
The Apple TV stuff. It's just, it's hard to find it. And that's an MLS thing. Yep.
They were kind of looking for a reason as to why, you know, Nashville SC has a fan base like a Donald Trump rally, where it's like the people that are at the rally, they're already going to vote for Trump. But it's like, you know, the key of the rally is to try to get people outside of the rally to vote for the guy or gal or whomever is holding the rally. And Nashville SC doesn't seem to care about the people that don't go to the stadium. And that was kind of the talking point. They brought up, like, you know, is the Apple TV the reason for this? And I don't think Apple TV is the reason for it. I don't think Apple TV helps it. But I just feel like Nashville SC kind of has this entitled attitude. And it's like they don't care. If you don't go to the stadium, they're not making any money off of you anyway. So they don't care if you care or not. And I think that's kind of how they've really been run ever since they became an MLS team. And look, that's their business. They do whatever they want. But like I said, you know, when Willie's sitting there saying, you know, why aren't more people paying attention to this? My goodness, this should be the talk on all the shows, and it's not. It's like, hey, man, you want to look in the mirror there.
We've made it through 9 minutes of this without getting into Instagram Live videos of Will Levis. And I feel like that needs to change right now because Joe is still very upset from your conversation.
Why must it change?
It's still very upset from your conversation 2 days ago.
Has he been on Instagram Live? Is it like Derek goes on Instagram Live in the middle of the midday show?
I didn't know that Derek did his own Instagram Live show during the show.
I feel like we could introduce this to Rexro now. Maybe that's something we need to start doing.
I guess I could wear a Michigan State sweatshirt onto that.
Yeah, so is Will Levis going live? Because if he did, I must have missed that.
He's not going live. We're just talking about the conversation of around Will Levis that you guys had the other day, his approach to it. Is he more concerned about Will Levis? Is he more concerned about getting better? And the disagreement that you two share there.
My thing is with this. Will Levis seems like a good kid. And I have defended Will Levis, you know, the entire time. I defended him before they drafted him, saying that I watched his tape and I liked him. Didn't love him, but I liked him. And, you know, even now, I think that all these people that are hearing things like, oh, he threw interceptions at OTAs or Malik Willis is playing better or all the stuff like that, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's way too early. Bill Polian says nobody should get evaluated until the first preseason game. And I think Polian's right. But there's no doubt, in my opinion, that Will Levis fell in the draft because teams were uneasy about his personality. And it's not like he did anything bad with that personality at Kentucky. I mean, I even took his side when I followed him on Instagram at the start of this offseason break because when I followed him, I looked at his pictures, and every comment that would come up, like I'd click a picture, and there would be a comment there about, like, I'm so glad we drafted Anthony Richardson and not this guy. Or, you know, like, oh, yeah, you're standing in the front and center of this picture with the rookie quarterbacks because you've always got to be front and center. And I was like, man, like this guy cannot catch a break. But one thing I'll say about Levis, and I said this is the same thing with the face touching, is, dude, you're the quarterback who walks in with a lot of scrutiny. And so I just kind of feel like, you know, get the football going, get the winning going, and then you can do whatever you want. You can eat pudding with your fingers if you want. Like, I don't care. Once you start winning. Before that, you know, just kind of, as Joe Burrow would say, work in the silence.
Right. But again, that's not what these kids do, Jared. Let me just
Joe
ask
Burrow,
it this way.
That's an 85-year-old pop.
Yeah. Let me just ask it this way. Do you think that Will Levis, because I agree that personality was a big part of the conversation around Will Levis and the draft. I think he fell more because people weren't sure about him as a player. But, I mean, it's not like he was like this perfect prospect on the field and, but oh, we got personality issues. There are questions about him as a quarterback.
Yeah, but
that's
he was a
bigger.
Definite first-round talent.
Yeah, okay. And first-round talent sometimes fall, but.
Yeah, like when they commit a crime.
Yeah, no, but Jared, no. There are questions
first-round
about him as a
talents?
Player. Dude, there were people who thought Malik Willis was a top five pick a year ago. You don't know that.
Not anybody in the NFL.
That's not true. Well, Jared, no. Listen.
If anybody in the NFL thought Malik Willis was a top five pick, he would not have gone at pick 86.
A lot of people thought.
In the NFL.
Listen, but this is the problem, Jared. This is we're relying on people who cover it, who get information. People, some is misinformation, some isn't. Look, there are people who are saying most of the personality talk was generated by agents of other quarterbacks about Will Levis. So I don't know if that's true or not, but you do understand how this whole process works, right? Yes, there were some people, I think, in the NFL who thought Malik Willis was going to go higher than he did, and it wasn't some big personality flaw, right? Malik Willis is a questionable prospect, but so is Will Levis. Will Levis isn't some flawless, on-the-field, on-the-film prospect who has a personality issue.
Well,
but here's my no. Here's
Anthony
the question,
Richardson's
though.
Not a flawless prospect, and he went fourth.
Okay, so is that because his personality is amazing?
I mean,
I think it's probably because he's the most athletic prospect ever. Could it be that he's the most athletic prospect ever?
Up all the trash after the.
I did see that.
Had that event and told the when the NFL told Anthony Richardson not to worry about it, he said, no, we got to clean this up. We got to leave it the way we brought it.
Right. I did see that. And there's a bunch of stories about Levis like that, too.
As somebody who loves Anthony Richardson, my pants fell down even a little bit further.
Well, you got to dump that, please.
Why?
All right, here's the question for you, though. Do you think that Will Levis's personality is a problem? Do you think that it should be any level of concern for Titans fans?
Yeah.
Why?
Because obviously teams were bothered by Will Levis's personality. I mean, hell, half the fan base is bothered by Will Levis's personality.
Yeah, Vols fans who hated him at Kentucky. That doesn't mean anything.
I mean, before they drafted him, 75% of the fan base was worried about his personality. It's a knock on him, regardless of whether or not it's fair, and I'm not one to sit here and tell you that it is fair. I'm just telling you that it was.
You just are. You are saying they should be concerned. So you're saying it's a problem.
People were worried.
Great. I'm asking you right now. Will Levis's personality, that's going to be a problem in the locker room?
Rick Spielman said that he's probably the sharpest critic of Will Levis of anybody whose opinion I truly trust on this stuff. And Rick Spielman said after the first day of the draft, he's a first-round talent. You know, Bill Polian said he's a first-round talent, compared him to Roethlisberger. You know, on looking at the tape.
And these guys had, and what did these guys know about his personality? What did they know about his personality?
That his fall had nothing to do with his toe. Remember that kind of came up a little bit? And so I think teams looked at Will Levis, just like I like Will Levis, they probably liked them too, but they loved them, and I think the personality turned them off, that these general managers looked at the difference between a first-round quarterback and a second-round quarterback, and they said, you know, we're not going to risk our career on this guy. And I think the personality is a big part of that, because personality is so important in a quarterback.
Jared, thanks for taking time to be with us this morning. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. Jared, have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Robbie. See you guys.
All right. Jared Stillman, our guest, old Robbie and Rexha. We'll continue the Will Levis discussion coming up next. We'll get to your thoughts on our text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
I mean, I even took his side when I followed him on Instagram at the start of this offseason break, because when I followed him, I looked at his pictures, and every comment that would come up, like I'd click a picture and there would be a comment there about like, I'm so glad we drafted Anthony Richardson and not this guy. Or, you know, like, oh yeah, you're standing in the front and center of this picture with the rookie quarterbacks, because you've always got to be front and center. And I was like, man, like this guy cannot catch a break. But one thing I'll say about Levis, and I said this is the same thing with the face touching, is, dude, you're the quarterback who walks in with a lot of scrutiny. And so I just kind of feel like, you know, get the football going, get the winning going, and then you can do whatever you want. You can eat pudding with your fingers if you want. Like, I don't care.
That was Jared Stillman on with us in the last segment. There are many reasons that you should be watching us on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, if you're not already. We're streaming live, brought to you by Superbook Sports. Joe Rexroth's face when he talked about same thing with the face touching is one of those reasons. Just go back and watch it. It was beautiful. I enjoyed every second of it, Joe.
Oh, hey. Football, another effort. That's pretty good. Did you see this?
No.
He's tweeted out the screenshots of me punching myself in the face. Nice job. So let's take this a step further with Jared then. Is he trying to say that Will Levis is going to use pudding for his, like, face paint for the game? Like,
I hope so.
Put chocolate pudding here, you know, under his eyes? Is that – what do we do? Eating pudding with his fingers, face touching. There's so many ways you can go with this.
That's beautiful.
This is so – I mean, this is getting into the, you know, like the cap is fake territory, except at least the cap is fake discussion starts intelligent from Jared. There's a lot of good insight and you know, nuance until he takes it off the cliff.
Right.
This is just dumb. I'm sorry. Like, this is just dumb. First of all, we talked about this yesterday. Yeah, Will Levis is a first-round talent. Like, I absolutely think that teams who passed on him were a lot more concerned about, is he actually a great quarterback? Because it's really, really rare to find a great quarterback on the planet. And that's what you do in the first round, is you draft people you believe are great quarterbacks. That's higher on the list than personality. Of course, personality was a huge part of the discussion with him, but so much of it is just cotton candy, in my opinion. It's fans who hate him. It's, oh, look at this, oh, good-looking rich kid who's cocky and I hate his guts. Whatever. Why does the Kentucky experience not matter? You know who I trust in situations like this? We go back to the story, but you know who I really trust is people. I trust other media people. So I talked to, actually, I think four people who cover Kentucky, one who covered Penn State. It's all overblown. It is. It's like the question, if he's a problem, if his personality is a problem, then it's going to be a problem in the locker room. You know who he is? Like, he's basically like this generation's Ryan Tannehill. Like, he's just Ryan Tannehill, except it's 10 or 12 years later, and he goes on freaking TikTok and stuff. I mean, seriously. Like, I mean, it's like, and maybe Tannehill would, like, reject that out of hand, but he reminds me so much of him. It's just not really a story, unless someone goes on the radio and whines because, you know, he taped himself working out.
Now, I will say, though, there are – and I think a lot of it's Tennessee fans that we hear from. But there was a lot of there's a lot of disdain for him
that's out there
that makes me wonder, like, where's that all come from when it comes to, is it the personality part of it? Is it just his circumstances heading into Kentucky? What are we think the Because, I mean, there are a lot of people that don't like him at all. Well, I think a lot of them are Tennessee fans.
I totally get that. And again, I think the teams, if teams didn't like him, then I think it's – here's the problem is, again, when you do the Instagram conversation that Jared is doing, what I go to is, oh, it's someone who's more concerned with crap like that than, like, football. You don't want that.
Right.
Gotta love ball, right? That's just not – that's not what this is. It's not – that's not the issue. If you think he's cocky, you think he's brash, again, you think he's too, like, type A, right? This is what we've talked about. This is what Hasselbeck talked about. Wants it too much, too much. Hey, I'm Will Levis. I want to be your quarterback. All right. But, again, is this going to be a problem for him now that he's in the NFL moving forward, in the locker room with the guys? I put – so much more stock in when he's been around other football players, they've liked him. Who cares if somebody hates him on social media and rips on him? What does that matter? I don't care if every Tennessee fan who's a Titans fan hates his guts. What does that matter? It doesn't matter.
I'm with you. I'm just saying a lot of people don't like him.
Yeah. he'll be he will be amazingly hated in this league if he's good.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But again, why does that matter to the Titans?
Right. Like, does Vrabel care about that? No.
No. Do his teammates like him? Based on all the evidence we have so far, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and Will Levis on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Nate on the text line says, so, since Jared thinks personality is more important than having a great arm, I think I'd be a great NFL quarterback. It's from Nate on the text line.
Apparently, that's it. That's the requirement.
Maddie.
I mean, Marcus Mariota is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yep. Maddie on the text line says, he actually reminds me of Burrow, token on the cigar after the championship. Yes, he's cocky, but if we win a national championship, the haters would be just called jealous. Personally, I like it. I want other fan bases to hate my quarterback. That's from Maddie on the text line.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest – and I hear everything Maddie says, and I agree. I mean, the biggest reason that somebody is going to – like another fan base is going to hate Will Levis is because he's good. Like, if he's not good, people aren't going to care. They're just going to laugh at him. Like, if
oh, he's and a good people player, are ready for that.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. But, it, like, I want other teams to hate my quarterback too, and the reason that happens is because the quarterback's really good. That's what it boils down to.
Right. Yeah, so Will, this is interesting from Will. If what bothers people is his circumstances going into college, I think you're right because Adam is a UT fan, even said he grew up with Money Man. I don't like him. Is that Adam from Portland?
Correct.
He said that, yeah. Will said, well, do UT fans
said that, but that's what he's referring.
I don't know. I don't remember that specifically, but I've heard a lot of things like that. Like basically like, yeah, you know, Richie Rich, you know, the New England coming from the Ivy League family, all that stuff. And again, he's Mr. All-American, good-looking guy. Then he does the banana peel videos. It becomes this stupid thing that doesn't mean much. But at Will's point, you know, how about Peyton? You know, he grew up pretty privileged too. Yeah, it's not just that. It is personality for sure. But and I mentioned the Kentucky media people. Not, you know, because there's been a lot. We all know about the circumstances. You know, he goes there, everybody wants votes him captain, all that stuff. But, like, I was told stuff about, like, after he – so someone was telling me how the Ole Miss game, he had a terrible turnover, right? I think he fumbled. Right? He got hurt and whatever, too. And so, you know, like, the way his teammates reacted to him after that was like, hey, man, we got your back. Like it was – you could justify being mad at him at that point. I think as the year went on, like the Tennessee game, he had no chance, right? I mean, he didn't play well, but it was just like, my gosh, the guy has 2 seconds to throw.
And he's
going
destroyed.
He's going against UT. I mean, it's not like they were like, you know, the Georgia 85 yeah. Bears. But in that moment was an example of like his teammates truly loved him. Someone can find me. I'm sure. I mean, they're in a football team, 100 players. I'm sure there's someone who didn't like him. But I'm waiting. Someone tell me, because that's what matters, right? And again, also, do you work? Do you love ball? Do you work? Do you do all the things you're supposed to do? There's not one shred of evidence to the contrary.
Well, in quarterback, you've got to be able to take command out there too. And that's one thing with him that I don't worry about. I mean, I think back to, and I know that, you know, every time I talk about Marcus, it's like a piling on Marcus session.
But yeah, here we go.
This wasn't just like me talking about it. Think about what Eric Decker had to say and DeMarco Murray had to say about him not being vocal enough and he needs to be more of a vocal leader and that's what you got to do as a quarterback, all these things. I don't worry about that with Will Levis. I think he's going to be fine in that area. So, like, to some degree, you know, I'm watching this quarterbacks documentary right now, and Charles referenced this yesterday with us. Like, I'm only one episode in, and like, there's like three instances of Patrick Mahomes just going nuts out there. And I'm not saying you have to be crazy and that Will Levis is going to be Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying that it's a little bit of a different thing you got to be when you're playing quarterback. And there's some of those things about Will Levis that I don't worry about at all. Like, I think he's going to be really good in that area.
Robert Nashville says, Christian Laettner 2.0, that's pretty good. And there's a guy who, you know, college pro, a little different. Obviously, a disappointing pro.
Although Kentucky fans, I think, like Will Levis a little bit more than they like Christian Laettner.
That's true. Yeah, when you talk about the Kentucky fan bases, yeah. But just an absolute Laettner, just an absolutely punchable face.
Oh, yeah.
But a great player. That was a great 30 for 30. What was that? I hate Christian Laettner?
Yeah,
that was
what it's called.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah. No, I think, again, like Tannehill, I think he's a very good leader. And this is another disagreement I've had with Jared. I think Tannehill does all the things you want from your quarterback in that way. And that Marcus fell a little bit short. Although it's interesting because here and there, Marcus he lost his mind at times out there too.
He
you
did.
Know? But when it comes down to it, like Tom Brady's a great leader, right? Like he's one of those. And I think Peyton Manning too. Let's take both those guys. I think those guys push the limits of, they'd scream at their OC on the sideline. They'd scream at a coach. They'd
their starting center.
Scream. Yeah. No, they scream. I mean, they would get after people. They had the equity built up to do it.
Right. That's the thing.
If they're not good, then they can both shut up. Who cares?
Exactly.
Like you have to earn the right to be like that. And so like Levis, like this year, he's just trying to see if he can be in the NFL, you know? So I don't think he's going to you know, be vocal like that. But if he does get to the point where he's good, yes, I agree. He'll be a good leader.
Well, think about the storyline of it too, right? Like if Will Levis acts that way this year, the storyline is going to be, oh, this guy's unhinged out there. Peyton Manning does the same thing. And it's, look at the fire that Peyton Manning has. I mean, it's all about the skins on the wall at that point.
We talk about our pre-show meetings with Izzo all the time.
We do.
But a serious Tom Izzo story, you know, he at times in his career has gotten taken a ton of criticism for, you know, for screaming at players, right? For being, but it's like, yeah, at one day he's like, you know, like the year we won the national championship, it was like, oh, look at that toughness and that grit. And like, it was like whatever year he was talking, they were like losing or they were having a tougher year. And it's like, now it's like, oh, you know, how could he scream at the kids like that, you know? I mean, it is so much like if you're a winner, then you can do certain things that people are like, oh yeah, see, that's good. And if you're not, then it turns bad. But I just, again, like with Levis, it's just none of these concerns, and this is all spinning out of one dumb segment on this station. Like none of these concerns are, to me, relate at all to like the football team. They are cotton candy social media haters, which is like so over discussed and just everything. Ugh.
Bradford on the text line says, I was always taught as a kid, if people are hating, then you're doing something right. When they stop talking, that's when you need to be worried. I'll admit, I don't care for the fact that he played for Kentucky because I'm a Vols fan, but If he can win, that will go out the window like a fart in the wind. This is from Bradford on the text line.
Nice. Yeah, I mean,
again, but again, that's fan base stuff, right? Like, it's all the, like, what does Peter Skoronski think about Will Levis? What does Treylon Burks think about Will Levis? Like, those, what does Mike Vrabel think about Will Levis? Those are what are going to end up mattering at the end of the day.
Yeah, and Vrabel may think, man, he throws too many picks and we can't fix that. Or, my, you can't miss that many throws. But, like, I don't think Vrabel's, again, evidence that we have now, who knows? Sometimes people get in the NFL and things change, so I have no idea. But based on the evidence we have now, I don't think Vrabel's ever going to make a, well, any of these eight guys can't just be 8-5 guys about Levis or, you know, just anything else that's related to that. Like, if anything, he seems like a guy who they may have sent home, you know? That again, that's the book on him now.
Sent home because he's staying there too long, not because he's lost his mind and, like,
well, yeah, that's
practice
what I mean. Yes, that's what I mean.
Will, leave!
Yeah. You're stupid. Get your Instagram video out of here. Hey, Will, why are you videotaping this practice? We have a camera here, Will. Why are you on IG Live right now? Yeah, I mean, it's just stuff like that. You tell me how many, and I don't know because I try not to look at any of it, but tell me how many prominent athletes in whatever sport don't have some level of look at me in their life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so sure you could look at maybe Burrow is that what Burrow is? Burrow like a non-social
media? He
didn't
do a whole lot of that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I appreciate that. I think that's great. But that's the exception.
Right.
Levis did the other day, that's the norm.
Well, again, we've talked about this same thing with Derrick Henry, and this is another example of Derrick Henry, skins on the wall, Levis just getting in the
This lid. Is amazing. Oh, I love it. So cool. Right. Versus Pete Rose jersey. Shut up.
I got a texter that says, y'all have already written Will Levis's obituary before he's even taken a snap in the NFL. Sad. Is that what we're doing?
What does the obituary say?
I missed that one.
Very morbid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what he looks like. We're talking about, I don't think we've talked a whole lot about him playing football so far in this conversation anyway.
I mean, we're less than a month from the first preseason game. We can actually, I mean, yeah, we're soon going to get into camp in a couple weeks. So
that's all it's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we need football.
We do.
In so many ways.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on Will Levis. Got more of your thoughts to get to on that. We will do that. We've got the Rob Rant coming up next. You can check it out every morning at 745. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Check it out every morning at 7:45. The Rob Rant, the Rex Rant, whatever we're going to call Nick Keezers. Are we ever going to determine that? I guess we're going to have to get him mad enough to rant about something at some point.
Yeah, that's a good question. Now that we know he's a member of the Tennessee Titans, well, maybe we can play off that in some way. By the way, so. Is he going to like Will Levis? We haven't asked that question.
Nick,
does Keezer like Will Levis?
What have been your impressions of Will Levis to this point?
You really want to know my honest thoughts on Will Levis?
Yeah.
I truly don't really care right now to this point. I don't think he's going to be awful by any stretch of the imagination. I've liked what he's done. I also think that he needs a fair chance to be judged. That's the way I look at it. And obviously, I mean, I completely agree with you, Joe, that this is blown out of proportion in terms of his social media. I mean, I think it could have just been film, going out doing whatever. It doesn't matter. He's just getting in shape to be a pro football player. Look, I think he deserves a good chance. And he did fall for a reason. That reason is yet to be seen. However, I think we'll see that in the first couple of preseason games, possibly. I like him. I mean, he does have accuracy problems. I thought he played pretty well at Kentucky. I didn't get to watch him too much in college, but I thought he was an interesting prospect. I mean, he was definitely one of the better quarterbacks. I don't necessarily think he was the best quarterback in the class by any means, but I do think that he was attractive to the Titans based on how tough he is. So that's where I am at with him, is I think he has a lot to prove as a rookie, and that's yet to be seen, and I think we just have to give it some time.
Let's keep track. So Nick Kieser, the other day, best thing in sports, was that there were no sports. Earlier today, said that he's tired of DeAndre Hopkins and all that discussion, and then started the sentence there with the, I don't care about Will Levis. Going all three.
Yeah, because I don't have enough time to even make a judgment.
I don't care. Look, all that matters is that Will and Nick can coexist.
Well, they need to coexist, but we're learning. Nick Kieser, executive producer of this program, hard to impress. Hard to impress. That's all right.
Yeah.
Hates Wimbledon. Not a whole lot
Likes
going.
Jared's takes.
Though. Likes Jared's takes.
Not all of them.
Good. That's good. Well, that's good. All right. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I want to get a little bit deeper into it with you now, Joe, because I keep looking at this, and it just bothers me. The in-season tournament in the NBA. And I'm trying to think of, like, what this would look like in other sports. Like, we talked about the soccer part of it yesterday. Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, the NHL just, like, having some random tournament in the middle of their season. Or, you know, the NBA or the NFL, much different, obviously, with the 17-game season. But, like, if the NFL just said, pause, guys. We're going to have, like, a weekend tournament here with the with our league, like
Pro Bowl,
middle of the year, baby. Let's get after it. It really bothers me. I don't know why it bothers me so much, because we'll probably get through the end of this when the first time they do it, and I'll just be like, oh, okay. But, like, the cash prizes for the players, you know, some of these, like, if you lose, it's like $50,000. And some of these NBA players are making like $55 million a year. Yeah. It's like, okay, great. 50 grand? That sounds awesome. It sounds great to me, but like LeBron James isn't going to sniff at the cash prize for the NBA in-season tournament. I've not really seen a whole lot of players comment on this yet. I'd be really curious to know what they think about it, because the more I look at this thing, I think the NBA in-season tournament may be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in sports. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's – again, it's – so we've had some soccer talk today, by the way.
We have.
So that's the only sport I know that does things like this, and people seem to like it, but I don't get it. I mean, but I've kind of chalked that up to, you know, just soccer just has some different things. Even what Jared was talking about with, like, reaching out to the – yeah, it's just – it's a different culture. It's a – it's not a sport that, you know, started here. And so I'm like, okay, I guess people like that. Like, do MLS fans, are they excited about these breaks for these? I don't know.
I don't know.
The only thing
– but I agree with you. I will not watch the NBA at all during this thing. Like, what are you doing?
It just makes no sense. Like, and that's the thing. They don't want to do that because of the revenue that comes along with it. And I understand it, but, like, you either need your guys out there playing in every game or shorten the season. Like, that's the problem. That's why people don't care as much about the NBA regular season, is because you can look around any given night, and whether it's LeBron or Steph Curry or Kevin Durant or whoever it is, somebody's being held out of the game because of load management, because they don't want to play in a back-to-back. And it didn't used to be that way. I mean, I guess there's science that says that that can help prevent injuries down the stretch here. But that's the problem. Like, it's
– yeah, then cut the games.
Cut the season.
Because it's the analytics people who really have driven that, you know, in terms of – it's injury prevent, but it's also postseason performance.
Right.
Your workload. Wait, did you just say your that workload? Or was that a drop? Yes. Thank you.
threw his voice back there.
Yeah. You just totally threw me off there with that. But, no, I just – fans get screwed over by that, and it's happened over and over again, and it's like – it's just not – absolutely not fair. And I hate to be like an old man with you yelling at clouds, but it's like it's just not fair for fans to invest what you invest to go to a professional sports game and then – like imagine that in any other league, you know? I mean – people get hurt and they miss games, but like just voluntarily, now we're going to keep them out of this game or that game. Then you can't. That's the problem. Having this thing is so do people view this as like a solution?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, just a quick summary on the in-season tournament for the NBA. It starts on November 3rd, and it goes to December the 7th. And all 30 teams are drawn into groups of five within their conference based on win-loss record. So it's going to, I mean, it's technically going to be a part of the quote-unquote regular season. They've got knockout rounds after that. It's all 67 games that are a part of the tournament count as a part of the regular season. Each team will continue to play 82 regular season games, including those that are part of the group play and knockout rounds. It's just, it's over a month. It's like a Tuesday and a Friday they'll have those games. But at the end of it, it's like, even for the team who wins, it's like, so who cares? Like, you win the NBA in-season play-in tournament. Like, what does that mean? You putting up a banner?
Like, one thing.
In-season tournament champion?
Yeah.
Right. The Indiana Pacers?
One thing I want to see with it, Robbie, is, and I had this discussion with some friends at Saunders Ferry Pizza in Hendersonville, which is a great place. No free ads, but I want to mention it because I love going there to talk about basketball with my buddies. And we talked about how the in-season tournament is something that I think will draw more fans, but I don't really see the merit to it a whole lot. And the reason I think it's okay, maybe that we're just experimenting with it to see, is just a matter of, okay, well, how many teams that are in maybe, let's say, the top four of this tournament, how many of those teams are actually playoff teams? Because if you see the success out of that tournament, is that going to incentivize teams to play even harder during the season after all these workload things? I know I teased Joe with the workload drop there, but seriously, like the whole workload, like it's been, I think that's taken a step back on the game. Players get hurt more often. They're not as tough. And I think personally, this could be a good thing in terms of maybe motivating the players to play a little harder, playing for something in the middle of the season. Although I didn't really see a whole big old prize other than winning a trophy, right? I didn't really see like, any other thing.
I don't think it's going to motivate them at all because they're not going to care. Like, I just what is the incentive for LeBron James to care about winning an NBA in-season tournament? They still have the playoffs. He's still competing for a championship.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's
just a gimmick.
Yeah. Scott in Hendersonville says the NHL takes breaks for the Olympics, which – first off, they have not taken a break from the Olympics recently.
They should, because they should be in the Olympics.
But secondly,
every time.
Like, it's totally different. You're competing for an Olympic gold medal.
Exactly. That's
this is competing for something that you already do in the playoffs. That this part of it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's players who get to then play for their country. You're comparing that to this crap.
Well, like, if we were talking about the NBA season and going off to the Olympics and taking a break for that, then okay.
Right.
That's different.
They don't have to, but they would, and it'd be great. Do that. Apparently, someone says the NBA is the same thing as Commissioner's Cup at the WNBA, so they'd do something like that. It's like, well, you don't get soccer, so it's a different thing. I don't understand it. Like, have your season, have your standings, have your postseason. That's how my brain works. And also, have your best players play in all the games where you charge full price for tickets and all the things and beers and hot dogs, or have fewer games.
Jake and Greenbrier, who keeps up with basketball pretty well. The only thing I like about the in-season tourney is that it means Adam Silver recognizes that the regular season sucks. Instead, they just need to cut it down to 60 games, no back-to-backs, less load management, etc. That's from Jake and Greenbrier.
And to your point, they're not, the cutting down, the owners are like, yeah, cut it down. What are you talking about? Look at the NFL. They somehow keep squeezing more games out, these seasons. They're not cutting. I can't cut it down. Well, I don't know, man. But it's absolutely ridiculous that fans have to endure this. And it's not good for the game.
And there's stories every year about, I traveled so-and-so to Memphis to see LeBron James play, and he decided not to suit up tonight. I mean, yeah. Okay.
No, it's ridiculous. It's a joke. And I this is where fans just get completely disregarded.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on that on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.